all starts with a root.
Oh, can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life.
Right, sugar.
This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, John Tompkins.
AC/DC. Their music has been described as hard rock, blues rock, and even early heavy metal. The band themselves described their music as rock and roll. Pure rock and roll. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock, where we trace the influences of the best rock and roll bands ever to grace the stage. And on today's show, we're doing AC/DC. One thing's for sure about AC/DC, the band is consistent. You know from the first strike of a chord, the first second of a song, that it's AC/DC. There's no mistaking it. The tone of Angus Young's guitar, the simple but catchy riffs, and the screeching vocals are absolutely unique. The rock and roll writer Chuck Klosterman has made the case that AC/DC's music has stood the test of time because it's never been relevant. And he didn't mean that as an insult either. He meant it as a good thing. He argues that AC/DC's music can never go out of style because it's never in style, meaning that the band has never cared to produce music that's popular for its time. So the music can never go the way of glam rock or new wave. They could never be Vanilla Ice or MC Hammer because they've never been an it band and have stayed true to who they are and have always made the music that they want to make. The band was formed in 1973 by brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. Since 1975, they've released 17 studio albums, 2 soundtrack albums, 4 live albums, 11 video albums, and 2 box sets. And as of 2012, the band's full discography was finally released on iTunes after a much publicized reluctance to do so before that. So far, in their 42 years as a band, AC/DC has sold over 200 million albums. Back in Black alone sold 50 million copies, second only to Thriller by Michael Jackson. Malcolm and Angus are clearly the best known of the Young brothers, but the whole family is very musical. The Youngs immigrated to Australia from Scotland in 1963. One of the brothers, named Alex, stayed in Britain and pursued musical interests there. One of the other Young siblings is named George Young. He was in another fairly successful band from Australia called the Easy Beats. More on them later. Malcolm followed the lead of his significantly older brother's musical paths and started playing in bands from a young age. Let's take a moment to note that George Young was also a producer on many of AC/DC's albums. Some people say that the name AC/DC came from a label on their mom's vacuum cleaner. Some say it was her sewing machine. Let's just say it was a household appliance of some sort. The guys thought the initials symbolized the band's raw energy and power-driven performances. And Angus Young's famous schoolboy uniform? That was his sister Margaret's idea. And it came after Angus had tried on many other stage costumes like Spider-Man, Zorro, and a gorilla. How different would the world be today if Angus had settled on a gorilla? Not a world I want to live in, my friends, I can tell you that much. Let's hear from the early days. Here's Show Business by AC/DC. Show Business by AC/DC on Roots of Rock. Kind of an appropriate way to kick things off from them, considering they've spent the vast majority of their lives in show business. That song features the original lineup, it's off their first album, and is clearly along the themes of what would make the band so successful in the years to come. It features the infamous Bon Scott, one of the greatest rock frontmen of all time. Bon Scott's influence and presence in the rock world is legendary. Like the Young brothers, he was born in Scotland and moved to Australia with his family at a young age. In those early formative years, he joined a Scottish pipe band and learned to play drums. At the age of about 16, he got into trouble with the law and tried to join the Australian Army in what I can only assume was an attempt to straighten himself out. Thankfully, his application was rejected as he was deemed to be, quote, socially maladjusted. He soon set his sights on music again and played in a few bands. He became known to George Young, the older album-producing brother of Malcolm and Angus, and was suggested as a replacement to an early vocalist for AC/DC when the band was searching for a new lead singer. Let's hear from them again. Something a little more well-known this time. From their breakout album, TNT, here's It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll by AC/DC. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Thanks for joining me tonight. Tonight, we're tracing the influences of AC/DC. The use of the bagpipes in that song goes back to Bon Scott's Piper Band days. As I mentioned before, he played drums in the Piper Band. But George Young knew he'd been in a Piper Band, so he convinced him to play the pipes. And so he did. I guess he learned to play them, and I guess it worked out. And the song kind of became a signature for Bon Scott. He famously died of alcohol poisoning in February of 1980. The guy who replaced him on vocals, Brian Johnson, does not perform that song out of respect for Bon. Now, when Bon Scott died, the band wasn't sure about moving forward at first. But Scott's family convinced them that Bon would have wanted them to continue. They found his replacement in Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson was playing in a band called Geordie when he was asked to audition anonymously for AC/DC. As in, he was asked to audition for a band but had no idea who it was. Imagine walking into a rehearsal studio and finding out that you were auditioning to be the lead singer of AC/DC. Check out this clip of Brian Johnson singing with his band Geordie in his pre-AC/DC days. What do you think of that clip? It's pretty good, right? But it kind of reminds me of that the scenes in the movie This Is Spinal Tap when they show how the band went from this Beatles sort of mod band to a hippie-like folk rock band to hard rockers. Search out the video for that Geordie song. It's called All Because of You. They're all wearing leather-tasseled shirts, and it kind of has this feel-good, groovy kind of vibe to it. It cracks me up. When Bon Scott mentioned to the band, prior to his death obviously, that he had dug Brian Johnson's style, he told the rest of the guys in the band that he sang a lot like Little Richard. And Little Richard was a huge influence on Bon Scott, and Brian Johnson for that matter. So let's hear from Little Richard, see if we can pick up on the similarities. Here he is with Tutti Frutti. Tutti Frutti, oh who? Can you hear the influence on Bon Scott and Brian Johnson there? It's definitely there, isn't it? Their screechy howls pay a lot of respect to the power that Little Richard's voice and singing style brought to a song. His voice always teetered on the brink of distortion, and the AC/DC frontmen took that a step further and had that constant distortion and power in all their songs. I'll never figure out how those guys can get through a concert night after night after night after night without shredding their vocal cords. This is Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to keep digging into AC/DC's influences. Stick around.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Welcome back to Roots of Rock. Earlier in the show, I mentioned Malcolm and Angus's older brother, George. George was quite a bit older than Malcolm and Angus and was therefore a big influence on them. His band, the Easy Beats, was part of what pushed the AC/DC brothers into rock and roll, so I think it's worth including them here. Not only that, but as I also mentioned earlier, George was a producer on many of AC/DC's early albums. And producers can have an amazing amount of influence on the direction and sound of a band. So here are the Easy Beats with Friday on My Mind.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good.
The Easy Beats were Australia's most successful band before AC/DC struck it big. They were the band in Australia in the 60s. They were even called Australia's Beatles. Another band that was hugely influential on AC/DC was Led Zeppelin. Zeppelin formed in 1969 and were really in their prime right around the time that AC/DC was forming. They were a band that proved that you could take the jazzed up blues that rock and roll was known for and kick it up an even higher notch, which is clearly AC/DC's MO. Let's hear from Zep, and then we're going to go down that path and see where it takes us. Here's The Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin with The Immigrant Song. Led Zeppelin formed in 1968. Their influence on rock and roll is legendary, obviously. Many, many bands were driven to pick up instruments and rock out after listening to these guys. These guys being Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham. They were originally called the New Yardbirds, but changed their name to Led Zeppelin. The story goes that Jimmy Page had done a recording session with Keith Moon of The Who sometime before the formation of Zepp, and Moon had joked that their music would go over like a lead balloon. Well, a Zeppelin is a type of balloon, and it seemed to kind of sound good together, so the rest is history. They drew on rock and roll, blues, and folk, and seemed to do it seamlessly. They weren't popular with critics when they first hit the scene, but they knocked it out of the park commercially and with their fan base with albums like their self-titled first album, Led Zeppelin 2, 3, and the fourth album, Houses of the Holy and Physical Graffiti. All are must-have albums in any rock collection now. And Zepp has gone on to sell an estimated 200 to 300 million albums worldwide. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame says that Zeppelin was as influential during the 1970s as the Beatles were during the 1960s, so that's saying something. The band's fourth album is arguably their best, but what is it actually called? The band had titled their first three albums, but with the fourth, they had a different idea. They were still put down by critics, so they kind of wanted to mess with them, and they figured if they didn't name the album, it would create some confusion amongst the critics. They didn't include text anywhere on the record sleeve. What they did include were symbols that represented each group member. Jimmy Page's looks like it spells out Zosso, Z-O-S-O. So many people have taken to calling the fourth album Zosso, but Jimmy Page has always insisted that the symbols aren't even letters. Since Zosso isn't even a word, I kind of tend to believe him. Technically, the album is untitled, although most of us refer to it as Led Zeppelin 4. So let's hear from that album. Something that doesn't get quite as much play as the rest. Led Zeppelin with Four Sticks. I want to hear another one from Led Zepp because I'm going to tie it all in later on. So let's hear from them again. Led Zeppelin with The Lemon Song. The Lemon Song by Led Zeppelin. As I mentioned earlier, Zepp drew heavily on their influences from many styles, but they clearly drew extremely heavily on the blues. And I want to go in the direction of the blues because it ties in nicely with the AC/DC theme. AC/DC also draws heavily from many of the same artists as Zeppelin. Zepp drew so heavily that some have even accused them of plagiarism. Stick around, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and find out who some of those guys were.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
Welcome back to Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Let's hear from some of the guys now that Zeppelin were hugely influenced by. Here's Killing Floor Blues by Howlin' Wolf. Four Blues by Howlin' Wolf. You're not imagining things if you think that one sounds a whole lot like the Lemon Song that we heard earlier from Led Zepp. Zeppelin based the Lemon Song on this song, and used to even intro it by calling it Killing Floor when they played it live in the early days. In later years, Howlin' Wolf's publishing agent took legal action against Zepp, and the band had to add Howlin' Wolf to the credits on that song. We've talked before on Roots of Rock about the fine line between being influenced by and directly ripping off an artist that's preceded other artists. In the old days, music progressed and changed by everyone sharing and singing music. So musicians and bands would play their music for audiences and each other, and other artists would pick up on that music and tweak the lyrics and tell their own story and change the music incrementally. And bit by bit, the songs and music would become totally new. Many people have accused Zeppelin of ripping off guys like Howling Wolf and Muddy Waters and the like. In my opinion, though, it wasn't a direct ripoff. They took their songs and changed them and made them their own, and just like artists have always done. They boosted the tempo and instrumentation and the bulk of the lyrics and made them their own. The trouble is, when an artist like Zeppelin does that and then becomes extremely successful, then the artist that they built off probably deserves a lot of the credit, right? And probably a lot of money, too. And the courts agree. Zeppelin has been sued on several occasions and either lost or settled out of court in favor of the artist suing them. That's it for this edition of Roots of Rock. I'm Sean Tompkins. Thanks for hanging out. Let's do it again. Hey, you've obviously been listening to the podcast edition of Roots of Rock. So glad you found us. Don't forget to hit up the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you found us on to begin with. And if you're listening to us straight off of one of the Rogers Rock websites, again, thanks for listening. But if you like what you hear, head over to the Apple Podcast Player on your iPhone or Google Music on Samsung or whatever your favorite podcast app is on whatever phone you're on. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can catch all the cool bonus content that we have planned for the podcast. Oh, and one more thing. Please, if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a rating and a review and help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your family, your local grocery store clerk, your dog, your cat, your budgie. Tell them all. Thanks. Catch you next time.